All right, we're in lesson number two on the law and the Christian. Title is A Christian and the Law. Number two, the purpose of the law. Galatians and chapter three, the purpose of the law. Apparently, this has been very educational. A lot of people came to me last week and said they've just never seen it before and understood a lot of the things about the law there. And it is a little confusing to understand, you know, you got two-thirds of the Bible and in the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and our relationship with that. But I think if you don't understand that, a good amount of the New Testament is explaining our relationship with the law. A lot of the book of Romans, Romans 7, Romans 14, part of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, other chapters, the entire book of Galatians, most of the book of Hebrews is all about our relationship with the law. And Galatians chapter 3, someone sent me a video about the law and how we're supposed to keep all these things and the law and all these things, and some guy taught it. And boy, that's a problem with the internet. Anybody can look credible. They don't have to have built anything, have any degree, learned anything. They can be sitting in their basement, you know, and crazy as anything. And everybody says, look, this is a great video. And they sounded great and convincing. And literally, the first verse they used, they were very deceptive. And I thought, you know, if you'll just read, I don't have to tell anybody, I'm not going to go through 2 hours of Bible study with you. Read the book of Galatians. Don't start with what, and literally start with what this word means, this one word, and they were misusing it again. Listen, when God is not trying to, God is not the author of confusion. Just get the big picture, read the books. He writes books in the Bible about it. You got to read those real well, understand those before you look at obscure verses and what they could really mean. And again, it's, the Bible is clear about this stuff. Now, today we're talking about the purpose of the law. And last week we talked about that we are not under the law. Let's look at Galatians 2. and we'll read verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. We're going to be back in Galatians 3 in a sec. I just want to say we're not under the law. Romans 6:14 first says, ye are not under the law, but under grace. What shall we say then? The next verse says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. So he repeats it twice. We're not under the law. That was, we found it last week, and it just says that. And we'll read another verse that says it in a second here. But today we're talking about the purpose of the law then, if we're not under it. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Obviously, Galatians is concluding we're not under it, so it says, well, what's the purpose of it then? Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Okay, remember that. We'll get back to that. Till a seed should come to whom the promise was made. Context of that is Abraham was promised the seed that would save us, Jesus, till Jesus should come. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is a law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. We'll read that passage in a sec. That the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, this is exactly what it is, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. For after that faith is come, we were no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All right, let's pray. We'll talk about this. Lord, thank you for the word. I pray that we'd get it and understand it, and I pray you'd speak to us. Lord, this is not, again, these are doctrinal messages, not as practical to our lives, but you said we grow in grace by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we're washed by the water of the word. So I pray we'd first understand the teaching of the Bible, but also you'd use it to help us become better Christians. May it be rightly divided. May you speak through me and to me, and do a work through your scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, the law, point number one, the law was a teacher to bring us to Christ. Okay? Not real debatable. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under that schoolmaster. So, the law's purpose, by the way, the law still serves this purpose, okay? The law's purpose is a schoolmaster, and the schoolmaster instructs you in something, and once you understand what it instructs you in, then if you accept its instruction, you move on to a different person, and you're no longer in that schoolmaster. Now, we read what it instructs you in. It's real clear. Verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Why? That the promise of faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. So, the law is a teacher to teach you you have transgressions. What does that do? That brings you to Christ. With no law, you don't realize a couple things. You do not realize you're a sinner. And number two, even more, you do not realize how sinful you are. That's the big point. Because everybody say, okay, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm a good person. But God gave the law so rigid and so strict and so strong that you say, why? What do you mean? He picked up sticks in the Sabbath and he gets killed. What do you mean? He committed adultery and you get killed for that. God with the law was saying, I hate sin, do not accept it, and the wages of sin is death. It's terrible, it's wicked, it's rotten. I can't stand sin. You are guilty before me. That's what the law does. It instructs you that you need a Savior. It instructs you that you are not righteous. Now, we'll read some verses that say this, Romans chapter 3. That was the purpose of the law, just said. It is a schoolmaster to show people that they need a Savior. It does that in a couple ways. The first way it does it is reveals your sinfulness, and then secondly, it'll point to the Savior. You need a sacrifice for those sins. You bring a male lamb without spot or blemish. The Savior, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, a sinless Savior. And you shed his blood, though he's innocent, and the scapegoat, and all these different symbols. It shows you, first of all, that you're a sinner, and secondly, it shows you that there needs to be a death of an innocent to save you, a lamb. And that teaches you and brings you to Christ. That's what the law would do. Romans chapter 3, and let's look up. I got several verses here. Let's go to verse 19. And we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I feel like I'm a... My job right now is not to expound upon this. I feel like, well, it just says it. Okay, these verses are really obvious. It says, you're not going to be justified by the law. All the law is doing is showing you're a sinner. You're not going to keep the law and become righteous before God. That's not his purpose. His purpose is to reveal your sin. Okay? It shows you your situations. Look at Romans 7. And again, these verses are real clear. The ones we just read in Galatians and Romans and stuff, so I'm not going to belabor the point. But it just says the law was, one of the reasons of the law was to teach you your transgression. So when somebody says, I'm keeping the commandments and I'm going to go to heaven, they have no idea. They're eating pickles to go to the moon. I mean, they're unrelated. It has nothing to do with it. Okay? They're not related. God never in the Bible, never anywhere, used the law to get you righteous. He used the law to show you're a sinner. That's what he does, okay? And it's so crazy the devil lies like that to everybody, but it's people don't read the Bible. And it says that, Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is a law sin? God forbid. Yea, I had not known sin but by the law. For if I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, it says, when I sinned, I was spiritually dead. And I knew that. Okay? And so the law is not bad because it brings you to the Savior. let me take it to, let's go back to Galatians. So the law is a revealer of our sin to bring us to Christ. It shows us our situation. There's such a good way to explain this, I'll get to in a sec. Galatians, but let me say this. It would be theoretically possible to get to heaven by the law if you kept the law and never sinned. If you kept the law perfectly, okay? We'll read a couple of verses that say that. But that's why it's going to show you can't do that. Verse Galatians 5:3, people trying to get under the law again to be saved. Verse 3, it says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised. They're taking the Gentiles, circumcising them because they keep the law. They thought, the false prophets, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Okay? And Christ becoming no effect unto you. Whosoever justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. You got to pick one. And so we see that. And then let me take you to James chapter 2. So once you, and by the way, understand, in God's sight, we don't get this. In God's sight, when you first sin, 4 years old, 5 years old, whatever age it is, some kids I think come out already, and they're trying to steal the stethoscope, and so. Whenever you first sin, boom, you're guilty. Boom, you're a sinner. You are just as guilty as the mass murderer in God's sight. You're a sinner. You can't go to heaven now. You've crossed the law. Now, at some point, someone says, oh, man, look what I did. I ruined my life, and I did this terrible thing, and I went and did this or stole this or hurt this person or this thing. I'm so good. I'm so wicked, God. I'm so bad. I need you to save me. Now, at that point, they know it, and that's what they need to come to, but they're already guilty. Okay, everybody is. That's why we need a Savior. James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, thou shalt not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. For if thou commit no adultery, doth thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So, listen, you broke the law, okay, and you're guilty. And so you are now a transgressor of the law. The law shows you how strict it is. It shows you how much God hates sin. Now, no wonder when the law, when Jesus came, and here's the law, that woman's caught in adultery, kill her. They can't come. That's what the Pharisees said. And that's what the law said. But Jesus knew we weren't under the law anymore. He said, all right, let who is sinless cast the first stone. He couldn't at that point say, you can't kill her. Because the law... They were right. They were right that the law said that, but they didn't. The whole truth of grace had not been brought out yet, and so of course Jesus said, "Go and sin no more," and didn't kill her. Why? Because grace had come. Grace had come, and they didn't understand that yet. But the law was just showing the sinfulness of it. God was patient. There are some people who never had the law. Look at Acts chapter 17. I know people maybe wonder what people who never heard, people who were in the middle of the jungle and stuff, and I think God's merciful and more compassionate than you and I are. But to Acts 17, this isn't really the message, and it'll probably bring up questions you want to ask because I won't complete the thought. But God winked at those without the law. Acts 17 and verse 30. We preach on this and how God looks at how you respond to the light he gives you. But verse 30, and in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now the word winked literally means overlooked. But now commandeth men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed the day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men in that he hath raised him from the dead, Jesus. And so the law is on purpose to, one, show you're a sinner, and two, to show a picture of the Savior who is to come. It showed, and we'll get to that at the second point, but it is to make you lost. It is to show you, and so many times you're witnessing somebody, if they don't seem like they really know that they're lost, they don't know they're a sinner, they don't know they need a Savior, they think they're a good person, you have to go to the commandments. And you have to prove with the Bible that they're a sinner. Okay? And show them that they're lost. If they don't get lost, if they don't realize they're guilty, that's the purpose of the law. That schoolmaster not bringing them to Christ. If they're just praying a prayer, that praying a prayer won't save you. Faith saves you, the Bible says. Okay? You got to trust Christ as your Savior. And so let's go back and look at that Galatians 3. And read a couple of these verses again. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's why the law came, not just to make them into sinners, but that it pushed them to faith. For before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should be revealed, afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's instructing us. We might be justified by faith. But for after the law, after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're not under the law anymore. Once you get saved, the law served its purpose. It showed you a sinner. It pushed you to the Savior. Okay? So number one, the law was to bring us to Christ. Number two, the law was a shadow of things to come. Let's go to Colossians. A shadow of things to come. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 17. Verse 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. This word shadow and the law, that it was a shadow of things to come. The word shadow is going to be the predominant word we're going to use here, because God's going to use it a whole bunch of times. And he keeps saying the law is a shadow of things to come. The law was a shadow to show Christ. The law was a shadow of the future things. The law was just pointing a picture. It was an image. And we'll go to Hebrews for a bunch of verses here. Let's go to Hebrews. Now, to explain why we'll be in Hebrews so much, is if you look at the name of the book, Hebrews, it's talking to Jewish people, okay? Galatians was talking to Gentiles, telling them, don't go under the law. You don't have to do that to be saved. Hebrews was written, and Hebrews is, you will get lost in Hebrews and very confused unless you understand the theme of Hebrews. The theme of Hebrews is, hey, Jewish people, Jesus is better than all those things you think are so great. Chapter 1, he's better than angels. Chapter 2, 3, 4, he's better than Moses. And he goes through every chapter. He's better than the priesthood, 5, 6, 7. And he goes into chapter 8, 9, and 10. And he goes into, he's better than the tabernacle and all the different things. And all Hebrews is about is saying Jesus is better than all those things. He's taken their place, and he's better. And he's going to keep on saying, hey, that thing you think is so great, that was a shadow. You were looking at a shadow. Think that tabernacle so incredible? That was a shadow of things to come. You think that that lamb and the sacrifice is so great? That was a shadow of what was coming. That's all it was. It wasn't the very thing. Okay? That's Hebrews. And if you read it after understanding that, you'll be it'll make a lot of sense. Hebrews 10. Let's go there first. Hebrews 10, 1. This would be a lengthy passage. I wanted to explain what I just explained, because now the passage will make a lot of sense. We'll read verses 1 through 9. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because of the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience for sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore then cometh he into the world. He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lord, I come, in the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, the sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Okay, now, I want you to notice God's word in there. He said it's a shadow, not an image. And it's not the very thing. Okay, now understand the difference between a shadow and an image. You look at a shadow, you can see a shadow of something. It's not distinct. You see a picture, an image of something, you can say, okay, I see what they look like. You see a shadow of something, you say, yeah, I can kind of see what it looks like. You got kind of a picture of something by looking at a shadow. But there's a whole bunch you don't know. If you saw my shadow cast down, then you'd say, man, he is a strapping man. And boy, he's got to be handsome, I think. But you'd say, he doesn't have much hair. And he's got 10 fingers and, you know, all that stuff. But you wouldn't know exactly what I look like. If you saw the image, you'd be much more impressed. And when you see the real thing, boy, you are blessed. But the shadow, the law had a shadow of the things that were going to come. Boy, we're sacrificing a lamb. And God says that the lamb is innocent and it's sacrificed. You know, and God will provide a sacrifice. And boy, it looks, God's going to provide himself a sacrifice somehow. And they had a shadow of things. But it wasn't very distinct, okay? They couldn't see everything. And they couldn't, it wasn't a very, again, verse 1, again, it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things can never with those sacrifices make them perfect. It was just a shadow of the things that were to come. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, Old Testament people, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. So these Old Testament people, they did not know exactly what was going to happen. They saw the promises. Satan will get his head bruised, and the seed of a woman will crush his head, and the seed of a woman will get his heel bruised. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Abraham was going to have to sacrifice his son. And all these images, they saw far off, but they never saw it. They died before his time, but they believed on what they saw. They didn't have the clear picture. They didn't get it all. And so they saw these things afar off. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Don't look at it in Hebrews. Keep your finger there. Matthew 11. So watch someone who's seeing what's going to happen, but they just see the shadow of it, and they just kind of see the picture of it, and they're thinking, what is this? I kind of understand about Messiah's going to come, and he's going to wash away our sins and the sacrifice, and I kind of understand. They took the blood, and the firstborn wouldn't die, and all that stuff, and I kind of understand, and it's taken us out of slavery, and boy, what the Red Sea, and the more they knew about the Bible, the more they saw a shadow of something appearing. But it was pretty tough. And so people were saying, is this what's coming? Is this the Messiah? Is this him being wounded for our transgressions? And they were having a little hard time seeing it because it's a shadow. Matthew 11 and verse 3. And he said to them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist knows someone's coming. Knows he's getting a clearer picture. And we know someone's coming. We know it's all coming. Let me take it back to Hebrews. And so many people were waiting for Messiah at the time, and the people in the temple that came and saw him and Simon and others. Hebrews. So it was a shadow, so people in the Old Testament could believe on something. They couldn't see it clearly. They could believe in the shadow and have faith. And Hebrews, let's look at chapter 8. Let's look at verse 5. Who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished by God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Okay. Now in this passage, interesting, when he's making, preparing for the tabernacle and the temple in the future, he says, follow my pattern, because it's just a shadow of the heavenly one. There, I believe, very clear in the Bible, that there is literally the temple in heaven. Okay, it says that. That people, some people dwell in the temple of God. You see it in Revelation. You see it in many places. And so he says, I want you to make it just like that, because you're gonna make a shadow of it. Now, it's, let me tell you, though the tabernacle was one way and the temple was another way, they were not glorious, like in Hebrews says that, like certain like heaven. Covering things is in it, with gold doesn't make them heavenly, but it kind of makes you see what heaven's going to look like. But heaven's gold is so pure, it's you can see through it. Okay, and so, and then let me continue on. Let's see. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry by, this is verse 6, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established among better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been given for the second. Again, we can read the rest of the chapter and things. verse 13, in that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now, that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. The law's going away. And so we see that. It's a shadow of things to come. And so we see this word shadow being used. Now, there's many ways you can illustrate it. You can do a shadow of a person. Let's say somebody's got you and they're gonna rob you, and you see a police car drive by and you see the policeman look at you. Maybe the person with a knife in your back doesn't see them, and you start walking this guy, and he kind of takes you down an alley, and you see you hear the police cars close, and all of a sudden you see from behind around the corner there, you see the shadow of the policeman standing there with a gun, and he starts going like this. Now, you don't know everything. You don't know what kind of gun the policeman has. You don't know all the details. You don't know what the policeman's going to do. But you have a shadow of things to come. And so you believe, and you keep on walking towards that corner where the policeman is, by faith. Your works are showing you believe on what's to come. Now, a policeman might have a shotgun. A policeman might be ready. He might have another policeman behind him. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know, but you kind of got an idea. That's a good thing, and a good thing's going to happen if I go that way. You follow? It's a I'm believing in that shadow. I kind of got what it's going to do. I kind of got a picture here, and I hope I'm right. And that's what people in the Old Testament were doing. God gave all these laws. Every direction was pointing to Jesus. Every direction was pointing that someday God would provide for himself a sacrifice, as Abraham said. And it was all pointing toward that, but they didn't understand it. Cursed is every man that dieth upon a tree. They're holding up a picture of a snake on a stick, and everyone who's bit by the serpent looks and lives. All these things were pictures, and they couldn't put it all together, maybe, but they had a pretty good picture, and they had Isaiah 53, and they believed on the shadow as best they could, and they obeyed. And so they were able to believe and understand. See, God said, you're really living by faith here, but I'm going to give you a shadow of what's to come, because it hasn't happened yet. It's not the right time, but you'll get a chance to see a little image of it. And I want to say this. The interesting thing about that is we know all kinds of amazing things. We know all that those were a shadow of, but you know how many things we only see a shadow of? Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, it says, but now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We see a shadow of what God's like, but we don't really see what he's like. I kind of understand heaven, and I kind of get, heaven is 1,500 square feet, and streets of gold, and a river of pure crystal flowing out of it, and Jesus has eyes like fire, and feet like brass, and rainbow round about his shoulders, But I don't really see what Jesus is like. I see a shadow. I don't see how good heaven is. I can't comprehend it. I'm looking through a shadow too. He gives us a picture of the family, and he says, "These are some heavenly relationships. Let me help you. Let me give you a shadow of your relationship with me. You're like the bride of Christ." Shadow. And so I understand that relationship. So even we today, we know the whole revealed plan of God as far as salvation and everything, but we don't. We're still looking through a darkened glass. We're seeing the shadow of things to come. We don't understand the glory of God and the power of God and all those. You understand what I'm saying? We're looking through a shadow too, but we know salvation. We're way blessed in that way, and we see that. So works in the Old Testament. I shouldn't get into this because it's a whole new subject. But faith saved. Just the works by following the law and doing the sacrifices and believing on him would show that. We're in Hebrews, so turn forward to James, and you got to read James 2 with Romans 4 and get it all together because it's the exact same subject. James 2. And it says, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works faith made perfect? But read the next verse. I love when they don't read the next verse. And scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. The works showed that Abraham believed God. But Romans, let's turn to Romans, Romans 4. It'll explain this further. We're a little off subject, but I kind of plan to do it to give you a little picture there. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1 through 5. What should we say then that Abraham our father was, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth in God, he has faith counted for righteousness. So people in the Old Testament, they said, I believe God is going to take care of my salvation. I believe God is going to provide a sacrifice someday. I don't understand everything, but I believe God, so I'm going to follow God's law. But the faith was what saved them, just like it says right here. But their actions showed that they were believing. Okay, that's what actions do. They never, keeping the law never saved anybody. This revealed that they believed in the shadow. They believed the truth, and they say that. And so that's why the lambs, we don't need to sacrifice anymore, and all the dietary things and the Sabbath and all that stuff is not the same. I'm going to just take you back to Hebrews one more time. We'll finish up. So two reasons for the law. The law was a teacher to bring us to Christ, and the law was a shadow of things to come. Hebrews chapter, let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. 24. Talking about the priesthood ended and priests would die, but there's something better now. Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Save them to the uttermost. Wow. Save them to the uttermost. Boy, we're under so much of a better situation. So much a better situation. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. How good is our salvation? Look how good it's become for us. We're not believing in a shadow. We're not hoping for things to come. We know Jesus died. We know he's buried. We know he's rose again. And we're saved to the uttermost. Not you're barely going to make it. Not, oh, I don't know if God still loves me. Saved to the uttermost. We are so blessed. Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Woo! Perfected forever. Them that are sanctified. That's awesome. Oh, I'm glad I'm in this age. I'm glad I have the Bible, the whole Bible to tell me that. I'm glad that I know not just the shadow, but the Savior. It's amazing what he says. Verse 17, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Not, I'm going to forgive them, but, you know, I will remember no more. He doesn't even remember them. Amen. Glory to God. Boy, he did a good job when he died once for all. The law was fine. Law showed you a picture. The law made you guilty. Who wants to be under the law anymore? Amen. I got a Savior who's able to save me the uttermost. Remember my sins no more and perfect me forever. Praise the Lord. We have the scripture and we're under grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we'd understand how good it is not to be under the law. Ooh, that was tough situation there, Lord. A lot of us would be dead. And we thank you, Lord, for the law and that it pointed us to Christ. We thank you that it makes us realize we need a Savior. Thank you for thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. Thank you. It shows us we need a Savior. And I pray tonight if someone didn't get under the schoolmaster and learn their lesson that they need a Savior, I pray tonight they would come to the Savior and get out from underneath that schoolmaster and understand why the law is even there. To show us our sinful nature, to show us where we stand, to show us we're sinners who need a Savior. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for the shadow. Thank you for all the types and allegories in the Old Testament that explain to us who Jesus is. We thank you that we have these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.